Welcome to this year's Reader's Theater. I'm Bob Britton. I will be the narrator for our play. Our performance will highlight how a clash among personalities led to a rupture within the Unitarian Church, as it was then called, after the United States entered World War I. Our story takes place in September 1917 in Montreal, Canada, where the church is holding its general conference, now called its General Assembly. It has just assembled to hear five distinguished speakers address the issue of whether to support the war effort by the U.S. government or to refuse to do so and instead make efforts to bring about reconciliation and peace among the belligerents. I will introduce the characters in our play who will come forward when called and be seated on our stage. First is Samuel A. Elliott, President, American Unitarian Association, played by Stuart Fink. Next, we have Mary Richmond, Social Work Leader, played by Joe Murdoch. And former U.S. President William Howard Taft, played by Glenn Jacob. Jane Addams, Settlement Worker and Peace Activist, played by Mary Lasek. Finally, John Haynes Holmes, Unitarian Minister, played by Bob Meyerson. Each of these characters will be speaking as much as possible in their own words as recorded in the historical records. Imagine yourselves present at this challenging moment in history as our denomination tries to make the right decision. Our first speaker will be Samuel Elliott, who will begin by making a brief initial statement to this gathering.
Welcome to our annual general conference for 1917. As chair of this conference, I am grateful for your presence here, especially since in this, our first general session, we will decide a question of great moment for our country and our denomination. Shall we as a church endorse our country's recent entry into the great war in which our country has embarked? Or shall we instead stand apart and instead offer counsel to each adversary in order to promote a peaceful resolution to this terrible conflict? As you know, I support the first alternative because I agree with our governmental leadership and President Wilson that this is a war to end war. But I am aware some others may think differently. But I am getting ahead of myself because my main task at the moment is to introduce our distinguished guests who will speak to us about the importance of the issues we face. After they have spoken, we will take a vote by the membership here present to determine our course of action. So please be ready to vote your conscience when called upon. Our next speaker will be my friend, Ms. Mary Richmond, an important leader in the field of social work who will offer some personal reflections about the importance of actively engaging in the conflict in which now engulfs the world.
My remarks will be brief because I want to allow more time for the other speakers, who are more qualified than I to address this issue. However, as a social worker and a Unitarian, I feel that I need to urge all present today to support our government as it embarks on a mission to make the world safe for democracy. I believe we are living at a time unparalleled in our history, which will test all of us to the limit. Our nation will need all forms of service in this great war, and a new consecration to answer the call of the hour in any way that will most further the goal of victory. We must all, professionals and non-professionals alike, close ranks from this day forward to meet the needs of this country as it goes to battle for the first time over there.
Thank you, Ms. Richmond. In a short while, you will hear from Ms. Jane Addams, who will represent a somewhat different point of view. But before that, I want to call upon our special guest, former U.S. President William Howard Taft, who, as you know, is moderator of our general conference and wishes to make a special statement at this time. Please come forward, Mr. President.
Thank you, President Elliott. Ms. Richmond, I appreciate your enthusiasm and your remarks. 5 months ago, April 1917, our country, at the behest of our President Woodrow Wilson, pledged this nation, its people, and its resources to advance the cause of democracy in our world by joining with our glorious allies to seek victory over the forces of darkness and destruction now reigning in Europe. This was done in order to achieve a just peace, as well as a just retribution for all of the injuries that have been visited upon our civilization by the nations who started this war. I know we will be voting soon to see whether or not our denomination endorses a resolution by our church to support or refrain from supporting this great crusade. My friends, as a Unitarian and the moderator of this conference, I believe it is the duty of our church to preach the righteousness of the war and the necessity for winning it in the interest of the peace of the world. Let there be no doubt that our country's cause is our cause. Therefore, I hope this conference will strongly express its emphatic approval of all that President Wilson and Congress have done and are doing to win this war. Thank you.
A very important message, Mr. President. But in the interest of hearing different points of view, I believe we should also hear from those who have some reservations about our government's current policies. Our next speaker will share some of these thoughts with us. I would like to introduce Ms. Jane Addams, a great humanitarian and a strong spokesperson for the view that we should also consider alternatives to a war as a way of settling differences.
Greetings, and thank you for allowing me to speak today. I am not a member of your church, but for many years have shared your views on a variety of issues, especially those in the realm of social justice. I find I do differ, however, from some of your positions on peace and war. As you have heard, your top officials seem to be advocating a position of cooperation with militarism and are urging your support for this. I'm sure it is no secret to you that I have always considered militarism and war a throwback to a more savage age in our civilization. Thousands of our soldiers will march to their death because they have been convinced they must serve their country in this way. Now, such patriotism is false, even though it springs from some of the finest instincts of the human spirit. It is truly unworthy of us and our government to use such instincts in this way and at so fearful a cost. Instead, we need to build up a finer sense of patriotism today, a sense that will honor reconciliation instead of confrontation, and arbitration instead of military force and destruction. I cannot hope to influence your vote on the resolution mentioned by President Elliott this morning, but I wish you would consult your consciences and vote in a way that benefits instead of burdens all mankind.
Thank you for sharing your views, Ms. Adams. Our next speaker is a close friend of Ms. Adams, as well as a well-known activist in the cause of peace, who will also share his reflections on the current world crisis and what our response as a denomination should be. I present Mr. John Haynes Holmes.
Thank you, President Elliott. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to speak today on this most important topic, but I must warn you and our audience in advance that my message may not be entirely welcome. I say this because I firmly reject the suggestion that our denomination should in any way be associated with this barbaric war, whether our country is involved or not. As you know, I am a Unitarian minister as well as a pacifist and non-resistant. I hate war, and I hate this war. So long as I live, I will have nothing to do with war, so help me God. It is a disease of civilization, and we must not in any way encourage or condone it. It is not glorious, not helpful, and certainly not righteous, as former President Taft states. It is only evil and destructive, and its cost with millions dead, seriously injured, diseased, starving, homeless, all in the name of senseless butchery. It is staggering. And still it goes on, and we are encouraging it to go on further still. The only sensible way out is to follow the path proposed years ago by my friend Jane Addams, which is to stand apart from this madness and try to exercise a ministry of reconciliation in order to bring the belligerents together to work out a truce so that bit by bit we can restore some sanity to our suffering world. This is my point of view. Hopefully I can also help to make it the point of view of our denomination. I await its response.
Why, this is monstrous! I demand the right to speak again, now.
I heartily concur with Mr. Holmes' magnificent statement. I also feel that war is never the answer to any of our problems, and only reasonable discourse is to try to bring the contending parties together to develop a peaceful solution for all who are involved. This is the path to true peace, a peace that will be enduring and not lead to additional conflicts.
Ms. Adams, I beg of you, please ask permission from the chair in order to speak.
President Elliott, I need to answer Mr. Holmes' pernicious statement. Please, may I please speak now?
Can you? Well, yes, of course. This is most irregular, but...
I need to speak also, President Elliott. Mr. Holmes' statement cannot go unchallenged. I believe it is destructive to unity as a denomination.
Ms. Richmond, of course you can speak. But as I told Ms. Adams, you must wait your turn. Where was I? Oh, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, please excuse our present confusion at the podium. You see, Mr. Holmes has delivered a challenge to the authority of this conference by suggesting that his personal opinions are so important
Please, President Elliott, I believe it is important for me to speak now in order to clarify matters for our audience so that they can reach an appropriate decision.
Yes, a decision. Let's see. Yes. Certainly, Mr. President, I will gladly give you the podium at this time.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have come to a crossroads in our discussions. With your vote, I ask this conference to commit once and for all to the idea that we must unequivocally support our president and this government in their efforts to wage this war and bring it to a successful conclusion, which is, I believe, victory over our current foes. We cannot allow Mr. Holmes' private opinions and the opinions of his followers, no matter how appealing, to keep us from this path, because this current war, why the future of our entire civilization is at stake.
I cannot sit by idly awaiting permission to speak.
Please, Mr. Holmes, you must wait your turn to speak at the podium. This is highly...
My turn, President?
Oh, good grief.
President Elliott, my turn is now. Let me just say briefly that if this conference, as suggested by you and former President Taft, approves the motion to support and continue this war, I will leave this denomination and found another church or churches where I and others can be free to expound our views. I will do this because a yes vote today will mean to me that this church no longer supports the ideals of peaceful people everywhere, that any war is fundamentally evil and can never bring about any social good.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt right now and bring us back to the present. As you can see, pandemonium broke out at the 1917 General Conference because of statements by John Haynes Holmes. The uproar went on for quite a while. Mary Richmond spoke again, as did Jane Addams and former President Taft. To his credit, President Elliott insisted that differing views be presented. However, eventually he had to call for a vote. How do you think they voted? To support the war or not? If we could, right now, not how you believe, but how you believe they voted in 1917, raise your hand if you think that they voted to oppose the war. And how many think that they voted to support the war? Pretty good. As it turned out, the 1917 conference voted overwhelmingly to support our country's involvement in World War I by a majority vote of 236-9. Former President Taft was fully vindicated, and John Haynes Holmes was rebuffed. As he promised, he responded by resigning as a Unitarian minister and eventually setting up his own non-denominational church in a series of like-minded community churches in the Northeast where his views on peace and non-resistance could be advocated. President Elliott, alarmed that some Unitarian ministers might now be preaching against the war, responded by declaring that any Unitarian minister who was not in complete agreement with the government's war policy could not be considered eligible for any aid from the American Unitarian Association. Thus, our drama comes to a close in a way quite different from the way in which our current UUA would approach international conflict. Things have certainly changed. As a final note, in keeping with the changing times, I need to conclude by saying that John Haynes Holmes eventually rejoined and was gladly accepted into the more peace-oriented Unitarian Church in 1960, the year before it reorganized and became the Unitarian Universalist Association.
Author.
I'd just like to say that John Haynes Holmes, when he rejoined the church, was 90.
Wow. 90 years old.
Yeah.